scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Gasper off to attend a wedding, so it's Jim Murray here with you until noon, when we will be bringing you the broadcast of Notre Dame at Wake Forest. Get excited for that. So obviously not a lot of time for not a lot of takes and commentary from a guy who, well, admittedly has a lot of opinions on just about everything. So yeah, not a lot of time. Or is it? In an effort to challenge myself and get everything on my mind, off of my mind, I'm going to attempt to spit out 60 takes in 60 minutes. That's right. 60 takes, 60 minutes. And staring up at the intimidating clock right now, that means actually 60 takes in 55 minutes. I'm already behind. 55 minutes and counting. 60 takes, 55 minutes. Can I pull it off? Probably not. But I'm going to attempt it, again, to basically entertain myself and challenge myself. Now, if any of these 60 takes in the next, well, now 55 minutes, happen to elicit a negative or positive response from you, the people, and you feel the need to call in, I'll be honest, I can't promise that you'll get on, because this is my time. I've got things to say, and maybe I do get all through all 60 takes here in the next 55 minutes, and there's time to spare, and I can squeeze you in. I'm just letting you know, I make no promises. I owe you nothing in regard to having to pick up the phone. So, again, if anything elicits a response, you can go yell at me on Twitter, at Big Jim Murray, if you feel that strongly about something. And with that, here's take one. I wish I had some production, but I didn't have time to make it. So, take one. I'm taking the Lions and the points tomorrow. Yes, the Lions have certainly been one of the worst teams in the NFL so far through the first couple of weeks of the season. They're last in the league in rushing defense. They're tied for last in scoring defense. They're tied for last in the turnover margin. They stink. They've given up 78 total points to two teams that are iffy at best in the New York Jets and the San Francisco 49ers. And as it is, they got jobbed in that game last week with that stupid penalty, the holding call on the opposite side of the field after Jimmy Garoppolo throws a pick. And Matt Patricia, frankly, looks like he's completely in over his head as the new head coach. But here's the thing. It's more about the Patriots to me and how they played against the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. I think what we saw from the Patriots defense is more indicative of who they really are in Jacksonville. Without Trey Flowers, that pass rush didn't resemble anything close to week one against Houston. The linebackers are all hard and pass protection. The secondary, anyone not named Stephon Gilmore looks completely useless right now. Matt Stafford, who I don't believe in, overpaid, overrated, is still better and more talented than Blake Bortles, who carved up this defense and made him look foolish. And the thing that has me in near full Big Jim worry mode going into this game is that this is, I don't like the spot. This is an absolute must-win game for Detroit. If you look at that NFC North right now, it's stacked. The Vikings look like the best team, really, in all of football. The Packers, you know, they're both 1-0-1. The Bears, they're better. That defense is nasty. They're likely going to finish over 500. So the Lions lose this game tomorrow night, their season is ostensibly over. That's it. They'll be 0-3. So they'll be competitive. They're not going to lay down. And I'm not saying they're going to win, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be a more competitive game than people expect. I heard Jones last night saying that it's going to be Patriots 40-10. 7 points is what the Patriots are favored by most bookies. And if you look at most lines online, I just think it's too high. So I'm taking the Lions. I'm taking the points. But the Patriots ultimately win the game 27-24. Take two! I'm not expecting much from Josh Gordon, at least not tomorrow night against Detroit. Don't get me wrong, I like the trade. Fifth-round pick in Bill Belichick's hands, mostly useless. He's found guys in that round before, Matt Slater. This Juwan Bentley looks like he can play. But more often than not, he's going to take some stiff like Joe Cardona simply because he went to the Naval Academy, or divest that pick into three even more useless seventh-rounders the following year. So relatively low risk, potential high reward. 2013, Josh Gordon looked like the best wide receiver in football. I know that's a long time ago. But this week, the hamstring issue, which I think is real because, you know, from anyone that covers the team, any of the beat reporters, they say Josh Gordon really didn't even practice at all in 11-on-11s or like any actual, you know, game-style practice this week. So I think he is dealing with something. So if he's even active tomorrow night, I expect him to be limited at best, just in a few packages. He didn't know anything about the playbook. He didn't know anything about the system. I wouldn't be shocked if they had one or two plays designed for him early, if he's even active, because if a design play works early, if they go deep or they hit him, you know, 20, 30 yards downfield, all right, the Lions are going to have to adjust. Opens up some opportunities for someone like Philip Dorsett. Rob Gronkowski might not get doubled as much. So I think they may try something like that. But beyond that, no, I don't think that Josh Gordon is going to factor in very much to the offensive game plan in tomorrow night's game. Take three. The excerpt from the new Ian O'Connor book about Bill Belichick regarding the unnamed assistant that said Patriots coaches think they could win without Tom Brady. It's the most offensive thing I've heard in 2018, and nothing even comes close. Offensive. The quote, in case you didn't hear it or read it. If you gave us any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, we could do it, this unnamed assistant coach told O'Connor. I don't think the coaches view Tom as special as everyone else in football does. Owner Robert Kraft thinks Tom is the greatest gift ever. But the coaches don't. On Felger and Maz this week, I said I added the sound effect of because when I read the excerpt on ESPN in my bed, I said, you got to be effing kidding me, to my cat laying in bed with me. His name's Blue. He's old and he's adorable. But that quote shows you why people outside this area, I think that quote shows you why people despise the Patriots and Bill Belichick. What arrogance. What arrogance. You want to say top five? Fine. I'll give you top five because we're talking about some of Tom Brady's true peers over the last decade and a half. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Fat Roethlisberger. I'll even give you Philip Rivers. But 15? To say 15, when you get to 15, we're in Tannehill Town. We're talking about the likes of the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. That's insulting. That is insulting to the guy who's arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. Without Tom Brady, the Patriots lose last year's Super Bowl by 30. I'll believe that till the day I go to my grave. They likely don't even get past the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. Without Tom Brady, the Patriots certainly don't beat Seattle in Super Bowl 49 or come back 28-3 to Atlanta. Granted, he kind of put them in that hole. Yes, I will admit that. But that's it. Period. If I'm Tom Brady, I find out who that coach is, and I spit in their coffee when they're not looking. This guy makes up for more mistakes on this team over the last decade than anybody else. Their iffy defenses year in, year out with these guys that they pick off the street. Oh, they got Eric Lee from the Bills practice squad, and they're going to coach him up. Yuck. To say that they would be as competitive as they've been with a guy like, I don't know, give me like another guy that would be around 15, 6, Sam Bradford. It's delusional. It's insulting. I still, that, even reading it again and talking about it, oh, it makes me so mad. It's the most offensive thing I heard in 2018. Take four. If you prefer fluff to jelly with peanut butter, you're an idiot. And the reason I bring this up is because today is the Fluff Festival in Somerville, which is essentially a thing, from my understanding, to celebrate that sugary garbage being invented there over 100 years ago. I know it's a Massachusetts institution. Oh, fluff. If it was up to me, and I was like in charge of, who makes jelly? Smucker's? Like a big jelly conglomerate like that? I'd go there. I would go to this fluff festival. I'd hand out free samples to people and fill them in on the foolishness of using fluff. Consistency? Sticky. Gross. They don't even taste like real marshmallows. Taste that stuff. When's the last time you had it? Doesn't taste like real marshmallows. Put a marshmallow in your mouth, then taste fluff. Completely different taste. And it overpowers the taste when you make it with peanut butter in a peanut butter sandwich. Fluff sucks. So team grape jelly all the way. Take five. Take five, the candy bar by Hershey's, the best candy bar there is. The Take Five bar, in case you don't know. Do you know what a Take Five is, Sean Silver?
I don't think I do.
Combination of five ingredients: chocolate, peanut butter, caramel, pretzels, peanuts. You bite into one, you're getting salty, sweet, crunchy, gooey, chocolatey all at once. Can't be beat. Never had one. Try the Take Five. You can thank me later. Take six. I'm all set with Jimmy Butler in a Celtics uniform. Thank you very much. Butler reportedly wants out of Minnesota. A lot of it supposedly has to do with bad blood behind the scenes. Between him and Carl Anthony Towns. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz, told me about this story yesterday, but now I understand it's on Black Sports Online. Ooh, some dirty stuff going on behind the scenes with those two players. But I'm good. I don't want the player. I think that Jimmy Butler kind of suffers from Isaiah Thomas disease. In other words, I think he thinks he's better than he actually is. I wouldn't want him taking away time from the likes of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, taking those minutes. Too much of a logjam at wing if you sign him. And at 29 years old, so he's in the last year of his deal. At 29, you're giving him 5 years, $190 million. I don't think that's a fit here. If you're going to keep Kyrie, you're going to have to start throwing a lot of money around. I'm good with the player. I think he's wildly overrated. That said, though, I will give him credit where it's due because he knows exactly what he's doing in trying to land with the three teams he's named. He told Minnesota where he wants to be traded, the Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers. Kyrie Irving could be headed to either of those New York teams next summer. Clippers, to me, seem like the Kawhi Leonard choice. I don't think he's going to stay with the Toronto Raptors after this season. So this is setting up the potential for Jimmy Butler to lure Kyrie Irving to New York next summer. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those three teams that he listed have the capability of having enough cap space next summer for both him and Kyrie. So while I wouldn't want him in a Celtics uniform, what he's doing from a business standpoint for him, I think is smart. It's the ultimate end game for Jimmy Butler is to go somewhere where he can attract another star, namely Kyrie Irving. So that story also makes me nervous about that. All right, I've gotten through, what, six takes? I got, help me do the math here, 54 to go? Not a lot of time. Trying to pull off 60 takes in 60 minutes. When we come back, I'll tell you why the dynamic between Bill Belichick and his old protege, Matt Patricia, and it's something I keep hearing about that bothers me. That'll be take seven as we try to get through 60 takes in 60 minutes. It's a Gasper-less Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And that's at six games out there. Had a lot of games here, so the volume, the things that have been shown out there relative to what we have done here over that period of time, Matt did here, is quite different. Does he have those things? Yeah. Is he capable of doing them? Yes. Have they all been done? Not to this point. Will they? I don't know. So, figure that out.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Gasper today, just yours truly, Big Jim Murray. So that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick earlier this week talking about former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, who is now, of course, the new head coach of the Detroit Lions. The two meet up tomorrow night, Sunday Night Football. And this brings me to take seven as I try to pull off 60 takes in 60 minutes. I don't like the word mentor. I don't. All this week, Belichick facing Matt Patricia. I've heard different permutations of mentor being used. Can Patricia beat his mentor? Will the pupil defeat his mentor? Mentor. Everyone's got a word that makes them squirm. For many, it's a word like moist. Moist makes people squirm. Flaccid makes people squirm. Doily makes people squirm. We have Mason Souza producing today. What's a word that makes you squirm, Mason?
Moist?
Yeah, see, moist. Moist for most people. Moist cake. Moist undercarriage. Mine, it's mentor. It just feels, no. Like you're letting that person with power do you. It conjures up dark pictures of sodomy to me when I heard that. It just does. I have a sick mind. I can't help it. I think of, you're going to learn that cover too, Matthew. The linebackers must drop back into coverage. Yes, mentor. Ah. I would just prefer words like guide, trainer, consultant, mentor. It's just one of those words that makes me squirm. You're definitely, to me, you're letting that person in power get a sniff of your hair when they lean in and put a hand on your shoulder as they try to learn you. Oh, Matt, let me tell you, a buddy Ryan developed the 46 when he got to Chicago in 78.
Yeah. Yes, my mentor.
It's gross. No more using mentor. I don't want to hear it between now and tomorrow night. No more mentor. Guide, trainer, consultant. Mentor makes me squirm. Take eight. The Ryan Fitzpatrick postgame bit that he did last week, it wasn't oversaturated. It was actually underrated. I think, look, we live in this time of social media. You see everything pop up in your feed after like 20 minutes. You're like, all right, I get it. We've seen him. He looks like Conor McGregor. I couldn't get enough of it because here's a guy who at this point in his career has now said, F it, I'm feeling it after how many years in the league now? Has he been in the league 12 years? How many teams? Seven? He's been with the Bengals. He's been with the Titans. He's been with the Bills. He's been at some of the worst outposts you can find in the NFL. And he's looked like the best player in the league through the first couple of weeks of the season. He's essentially taken the job from Jameis Winston, and rightfully so. And Monday night against Pittsburgh is going to be another indictment. Like, if he plays out of his mind like he has the first couple of weeks on Monday night against Pittsburgh, you can't give that job back to Jameis Winston. I don't care, even if he's in the last year of his contract. This was the guy that was the number one pick overall in, what, 2015? You can't do it, especially if you're a guy like Dirk Cutter, who going into the season I think was going to probably be the first coach fired. If you looked at this team and how they started these first three games at New Orleans, at home against the reigning champion Eagles, and then at Pittsburgh on a Monday night, they win that game on Monday night, you can't give that job back to Jameis Winston. You can't. But the whole bit, the dressing up like Conor McGregor or wearing DeSean Jackson's clothes, whatever it was he did last week, I thought that was awesome. I couldn't get enough of it. The NFL needs more fun characters. And for a moment, Ryan Fitzpatrick became a fun character. I didn't find it contrived, and I didn't mind that it kept feeding up, you know, filling up my Twitter feed. I thought that was excellent. Ryan Fitzpatrick's been one of the best stories in the NFL through the first couple of weeks of the season, and I find myself rooting for him at this point. Take nine. Boy, this is an undertaking. I don't know if I'm going to get through these 60 takes. Take nine. Get Low by Lil Jon still kills. And I bring this up because, believe it or not, and I just found this out about 10 minutes before I came on the air at 11, Lil Jon performing at halftime of tomorrow night's Patriots-Lions game, which is weird for a ton of reasons, but mostly because Lil Jon is from Atlanta and, to my knowledge, has absolutely nothing to do with Detroit. Maybe he came cheap. But anyway, I bring it up because Get Low, a track that is now 16 years old, which makes me feel like I'm a million, still kills. And if it doesn't make you move or shout along to the hook, who doesn't know the hook? To the window! To the wall! To the wall! To the sweat drop down my... When you hear that and you don't sing along to it, it doesn't make you move, you, sir or madam, you're a stiff. Take 10, Detroit, underrated city. Go watch the new episode of the Off-Air Show I posted on the Felger and Mass Facebook page, put it up yesterday, or my Twitter page, at Big Jim Murray, for a more detailed explanation as to why Detroit, underrated city. But the gist of it is this. Fun, blue-collar city that's getting revitalized by good, down-to-earth people that really give a damn about the city actually, you know, having a comeback. And go visit it sometime. Or maybe you're listening to this on the 98.5 Sports Hub app and you're headed to Detroit for tomorrow night's game. Go find that video. Go see what to do. Make sure you go to Buddy's Pizza. Hang out in Greektown. Go to some of the casinos. That city's not nearly as violent and scary as people think that it is. It's not. It's great. Take 11, the Weezer cover of Africa, garbage song. A lot of people want to say that it's the song of the summer. It's trash. I see I get a thumbs up from you, Mason. Expound on that, please. I think it's absolute garbage.
Yeah, it's a cheap imitation of a legend of a song. Exactly. It's there's no emotion. It is garbage.
Thank you. It is. So I'm glad to know that I'm not alone on that. It's just every time that I hear it, it's like, just play the regular version by Toto. It's so much better. Take 12, the best impersonation at the radio station. A lot of people, I understand, you know, I get it, and thank you very much. You like the David Price. You like the Jim Gray. You like the Sterling and Waldman that you would occasionally hear on the Adam Jones Show at night. A lot of people are very talented here. But to me, the best impersonation at the radio station is the Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation by Sean Silver, who is in here on the headlines all morning long. All right, do you have to stick through the Notre Dame show as well?
No, I don't have to stick
Notre Dame
game?
No. Give the people a little bit of Macho Man here. Bring your A material.
60 takes in 60 minutes. Oh, yeah. Big Jim Murray trying to make radio history. And he's got the Macho Man alongside. Yeah, the greatest tag team you've ever heard. Uh-huh.
See? That's A material right there from Sean Silver. That is the best impersonation that you're going to get here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Where am I at now? I've already lost count. Am I at take
12?
Take 12.
You're at 13. That was 12.
All right. Take 12. Thursday night football proved the Jets and the Cleveland Browns proved that the NFL is back. If you listen to Felger Mavs with any regularity, three Fridays ago after the opener, the Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons, I came in the next day and I was like, I can't believe this. My hopes were so high for the NFL this year. And after one night, they were dashed. I said it was almost as I was playing a hypothetical game of horse. But instead of it was horse, it was stinks. I didn't want to get to stinks in watching the NFL this season. But after that first Thursday night game, which was full of flags and terrible quarterback play from Matt Ryan and Nick Foles, I was already at ST. It was awful. I was like, oh God, they haven't changed anything. And they're bogging down the game with more penalties. This stinks, or at least is ST. It's such high hopes for the league. The ST is now gone. There's only, to me, like three unwatchable teams so far this year in 2 weeks in one game, and that's the Browns. The Bills, the Arizona Cardinals, and maybe even the New York Giants, but at least there's some star power there and reason to tune in with Odell Beckham Jr., Saquon Barkley, you know. And I think that's, you know, it's the NFC East. It's going to be competitive. But other than that, every game so far, scoring's up. All the offensive numbers are up. If you're going to take the violence away, just entertain me. And these games, by and large, have been extremely entertaining. And Thursday night, Browns, Jets, a game that most of you would have laughed at and not watched, unless you were a degenerate or like me and you actually liked the Thursday night product in the past, you wouldn't have watched that. Now that's must watch because of the quarterbacks, because of the offensive firepower that you're seeing, because they've kind of opened up the game. I'm all for that. That on Thursday night when Baker Mayfield came into the game when Tyrod Taylor got hurt, oh, that was amazing. How many people, even if you weren't watching, you were watching the Red Sox game that night, how many of you ended up tuning over when you saw on your feed, oh, Baker Mayfield's in, the number one pick's in? I got to see this. And it paid off. That game was awesome. So the NFL is up. The NFL so far has been fantastic. Where am I at, 13? Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. 60 takes in 60 minutes, and I am now at 30 minutes to go. I got to run through these quick. Sean Silver's going to get you caught up on the Hub headlines. We come back. My thoughts on the potential of Colin Kaepernick coming to the Patriots. What? That'll be take number 13. Coming up next, Gasperless Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fans want to know,
yes.
Colin Kaepernick, is he going to play again this season?
Okay, this is what I'm going to predict. I've been pilloried for the idea that I said a year ago he was going to get a contract in 10 days. I would just say stay tuned that next week there may be some news.
Okay, news like he might be signing?
That's as far as I'm going to go.
What's giving you this confidence?
Have you ever heard of attorney-client privilege?
Yeah. Is he watching the NFL this season?
Yeah, I think you can see that if you take a look at his...
Is there a particular...
His Instagram, he's watching the Miami Dolphins.
Is there a team? Okay,
so that's Stills team. For Stills and the other guys who are kneeling, yeah, absolutely. Colin and Nessa, they watch, and Eric watches, and so, yeah, the guys are fans and players.
So he likes the Dolphins. He might want to join the Dolphins if he's allowed to.
I wouldn't say join the Dolphins. I've got two other teams that will remain nameless.
Oh, come on. Give us a hint.
I'll just say this. If Al Davis was still alive, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, wow. Hey, did you hear that Meek Mill wants to do he's going to do an anthem, a Colin Kaepernick anthem.
I've heard that. You know who Meek Mill was visited by when he was in custody?
Tell the folks at home.
Bingo. This guy knows everything.
Yeah, I know. He's a sports guy. Hey, wait.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. A Gasperless Gasper and Murray for just 1 hour today here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris, off for a wedding, so you get yours truly. Here until noon, we bring you Notre Dame and Vanderbilt. Is that what it is? It's Vanderbilt?
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, same thing. Either way, get ready for that. So you just get me for 60 minutes today, in which I try to attempt 60 takes in 60 minutes. I'm already behind. So here's take 14. Gimme the Kaepernick. That was Kaepernick's lawyer, Mark Garagos, on TMZ Sports earlier this week, alluding to Kaepernick potentially signing with the Raiders or the Patriots. Is it realistically going to happen? Probably not. But again, take 14, gimme the Kaepernick. Because from a football standpoint, I'm into it because, well, he's a better option than useless Brian Hoyer. At 30 years old, Kaepernick, I think a viable option as the starter for the Patriots for the next few years if Brady were to leave after next season. We're talking about a quarterback who, now granted, years removed, but got to the Super Bowl, almost won the damn thing. He has shown that he is able to be coached, you know, because that team was a wagon, that Niners team, under Jim Harbaugh. So at 30, I don't think he's too old to be a decent enough starter in this league. I know the numbers dipped there those last couple of years in San Francisco before he was blackballed by the NFL and the owners. So I'd be into it. It's a better option than Brian Hoyer. And then just from the personal standpoint, because I'm petty like this, oh, I just need it for all the mayhem. It would create so much delicious mayhem for those of us lucky enough to be working in sports talk radio. And I'm in for anything that, and I've said this before with Chris and on with Felger and Mass, I'm for anything that makes the likes of stupid Kurt Schilling and his ketchup sock and Howie Carr mad, those kind of people. The signing of Colin Kaepernick here and him becoming a Patriot, oh, You could see the steam coming out of their fat heads already. And yes, I understand. I've already been chirped about this incessantly on Twitter. But what about the pig socks? No, just because I would be into Kaepernick here does not automatically paint me with a broad brush of being anti-cop. No, support the police, like the police. But I'm also not a child who gets offended by clothing. Oh, the socks! So yes, I would want that so, so very much. Take 15, Ben Roethlisberger, a creep's creep. Not shocking news, but it was proven again this week. Stormy Daniels, who's obviously making the most of the fame that she's found from the alleged affair with Donald Trump. She's got details from her new tell-all book, Full Disclosure. And so in addition to, some of the, what came out this week, the toad from the Super Mario thing, the descriptions of Trump's anatomy, Stormy Daniels claimed to have an uncomfortable encounter with Steelers quarterback and creep Ben Roethlisberger after a mutual meeting with Trump in Lake Tahoe. So she wrote about this, and CNN has published the details, reads as follows. She said he asked her for a goodnight kiss. This is her talking about Roethlisberger. She refused. She says Roethlisberger pushed lightly on her door as they stood outside her hotel room. I was terrified. I'm rarely terrified, Daniels wrote, saying Roethlisberger responded saying, come on. She closed the door and writes that Roethlisberger stood outside, not leaving, while knocking at her door for several minutes, but eventually left. Now, on the timeline of this, this is pre that horrible thing that happened in that that bar outside of Atlanta with him, the security guards, and the alleged... Well, no, did he get accused of the accused rape that happened in that bar in the Atlanta area. This is before that. The guy's a big oaf. I hate Roethlisberger, and I always want to see the best possible competition. I'll never really root for injuries outside of one. I always do kind of root for an injury for Ben Roethlisberger because that guy's the worst. Where are we at? Take 16? I got to try to get to 60? Oh, boy. Take 16. I think it's important to treat yourself. A life lesson for you, the people. I live my life personally like this. I live my life like the next shower I take, I could find a lump. And if you find that lump, it all goes to hell. So I think it's important you got to treat yourself. Even if you don't happen to make a lot of money or you're having difficulty trying to make ends meet, you got to find ways to treat yourself. Mine, my thing like 5-10 years ago used to be like, I just have to make enough so I can occasionally afford sushi. Like it's one of the things that makes me happy. It's a treat for myself. Got a little bit of a bump, so now that's gone up a bit. Now my thing is, I got to be able to afford to treat myself to the sushi and my monthly massage. The monthly massage, can't say enough about it. No, and I, yeah, you get finished out. No. Deep tissue massage gets out all those poisons. I'm convinced it adds years to your life as well. You got to find what it is in your life that treats yourself. Sean Silver, what do you treat yourself with? What's your thing?
Junk food.
It's all right. Whatever it is, man. Whatever that makes you happy. Because you got to live life like the next shower, you're going to find a lump. Or so you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. It's extremely important that you treat yourself. That's all. Life lesson there. Where am I at? Take 17?
Yep.
Take 17. Something I realized this week. Phil Collins, super underrated, when you want music to be pissed off to. You think sometimes Phil Collins, oh, you just gonna love. Oh, you just kind of... Like, Phil Collins has, like, happy, upbeat music. Listen to some of the pissed songs from Phil Collins. I Don't Care Anymore. Against All Odds. Good breakup music. Good music to drive around to be pissed to. Phil Collins, super underrated when you want music to be pissed to. Take 18. Is that where I'm at? Take 18, because I was just looking up here, and this is something I was just reminded of, because I've always felt this way, especially recently, because we haven't seen many changes for the good in the NFL. Take 18. The NFL... needs to learn from college football when it comes to the uniforms. Looking up here, we have the University of Georgia going up against, they're playing Vanderbilt. Either way, the uniforms, each and every week, different, colorful, exciting. The NFL, I don't know. Like, yes, there's the uniforms that you see that are, I like the road Patriots ones. I like the Lions road uniforms where you get the white top and the blue pants. The Raiders, a classic. But there's too much bland in the NFL. The NFL could learn from college football when it comes to the uniforms. Change up the uniforms. Nike makes these uniforms for Oregon. They seem to have a different uniform each and every week. Well, now that you're in bed with Nike making the NFL uniforms, switch it up.
I am at now take 19. I got to try to get to 60 in the next 15 minutes. I can assure you it's not going to happen, but I still have things in my mind that I have to get off of it as I attempted 60 minutes of 60 takes in 60 minutes. Boy, it's not enough time. 617-779-0985. I'll try to squeeze in a phone call or two now that I realize I'm not going to be able to pull it off. If you got things you want to say from anything that I've already yammered about in the last 45, have at it. We'll squeeze in a call or two. 617-779-0985. It's a Gasperless Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Breaking ball, ground ball, Brock Holt. He's got that. And the Red Sox have won again. That is 105 to tie the franchise record. They take game one here in Cleveland, and with a very different-looking lineup and a slew of pitchers and two guys who hit their first major league home run, the Red Sox win the ball game and take game one.
1912, they won 105 games, right? Is that the,
yeah, that
the
is,
year?
That is correct, 105, and that has been matched tonight here in Cleveland.
Hey, Gasperless Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So just Big Jim Murray here. I can't believe the time's gone by this quick. Staring at this clock, 11:52. Attempted to pull off 60 takes in 60 minutes. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. It's just not enough time.
Victory. Don't give up on your dreams, Jim.
Victory has defeated you.
Yeah, that's right, Bane. I don't know. I'll have to... I'll just have to think of it a different way to do it the next time this happens when they just put me on for an hour leading into Notre Dame. Who again? Wake Forest? Coming up in just 8 minutes. But that was the final call of the hangover lineup win for the Red Sox 7-5 last night over the Cleveland Indians, which, I'll keep hammering away. Brings me to take 19. These games this month are completely useless. Outside of, like, watching Chris Sale, you know, and he looked good last night other than the home run he gave up to who is it again? Third base. Everyone's pissed. The Yankees and the Red Sox are pissed that they got him from Toronto.
Donaldson.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson. Other than that, one little blip, looked good. But these games, I've actually learned to enjoy this now. So like Thursday night, watching the Cleveland Jets game, which was infinitely more exciting to watch than the final game of that Yankee and Red Sox series. These games this month, useless. Useless to me. Do your job and watch the Red Sox game. Pay my cable bill. Shut up. No. This I got nothing for this team until the playoffs right now. They ostensibly clinched the division a month ago when they swept the Yankees here in that four-game series. So I'm like, all right, I'm good. Like, I'll just catch up with highlights in the morning or watch, like, the sped-up game on the MLB app the next day so we can talk about it on Felger and Maz. Other than that, these games this month, useless. Useless. Talk to you in October. Take 20. Speaking of which, Red Sox going to be out in the first round. So I do still have to watch, and it's not just the wheel of gutless bums, the bullpen, that stinks. And again, they proved last night, I don't really trust the rotation. While Chris Sale looked better last night, is he going to be able to get into an eighth inning if he's the game one starter, which even that feels like the way that the rotation's set up for next week feels like that even is in question. David Price would be your game one starter. I just think that they're going to end up falling on their face for their third consecutive year. I think the pitching overall leaves a lot to be desired. Take 21 because David Price is going to fail in the playoffs again. What was that this week? What was that in New York? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, even while I continue to doubt, he has been lights out since the All-Star break. He has. Except anytime he goes into New York. And then he's doing the whole grabbing his pants and, like, there's numbness again. Old Davey Tinglefingers is back. I can't feel anything. It was too much Fortnite. I freak out every time I walk into Yankee Stadium. What is it with that guy? So I think it's all mental. I think it's the pressure. I think it was the little twinge of added pressure of, oh, now it's on me. I can be the guy that clinches the division tonight for the team. It's that. It's the Yankee Stadium factor. He's going to fail in the playoffs again. Take 22. Here's a recommendation for you. Even if you weren't a Wire fan, which yeah, I'm one of those annoying people that will expound about the Wire time and again. It's the greatest television show ever made. But their creator, David Simon, who made The Wire, he and some of those other producers, have a new show, relatively new show on HBO, The Deuce. Watch The Deuce on HBO. Great show. It's about the old 1970s porn business in 42nd Street in early to mid-70s New York.
excellent show. And it's not just for perverted reasons. It's really well written, really well acted. Watch it. Thank me later. Because we won't get to the 60 takes in 60 minutes, as I said, I'd squeeze in some phone calls. Like Kevin in Andover. Go ahead. You're here on Gasper and Murray.
Hey, Big Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Couldn't agree with you more about the Deuce. Great show. And I just wanted to give out a winner today. I got Columbia minus 18.5 at Georgetown. Columbia is going to roll in this game. They won an against an FCS opponent last week. So there's your winner for the day. Love the show. See you.
Oh, all right. Okay, so that's Kevin telling you to treat yourself with Columbia minus 18.5. All right, Peter and JP, you're next here in a Gasperless Gasper Murray today. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Big Jim, I don't think you factored in the commercial. I only think you had 40 minutes. So 40 takes in 40 minutes, I think you could do. But I couldn't agree with you more about Colin Kaepernick. I think he'd be welcomed with open arms just for the talent he has compared to, like you said, Brian Hoyer. I think if he's under Josh Daniels for a couple of years, they could build an offense around him. I think he's probably better than anyone they could get in the draft. I don't care if he kneels or not. I just think it would be great for all the reasons you already said.
Yeah, Peter, and thanks. And just in terms of the football, he's more malleable at this point in his career, even though he's been removed from the game for the last, now two seasons, season and a half, right? Than Brian Hoyer at this point. Brian Hoyer's 33. There's no upside there. There's no pocket presence whatsoever. I just think, obviously, if you've listened with any regularity, I think Hoyer sucks, and I think I'm right on that. He's awful. There's, at 30, with Kaepernick, okay, you'd obviously have to make some tweaks to the offense, and that's putting it mildly, but I think that there's more to work with. There's more coachability there. There's more upside. The guy almost won a damn Super Bowl 5 years ago, and for those of you screaming into the void saying, well, that's he's been removed from the game for too long. Well, what do you say about Josh Gordon then, who's played 11 games in the last five seasons? You're into that signing, right? He hasn't missed too much football. Talent, look, in the NFL more than anything else, I say this all the time, talent trumps the trouble. And whatever trouble that there would be with Colin Kaepernick, and believe me, there'd be a lot of off-field stuff and people would lose their minds. And I don't doubt it. There are some of you that were season ticket holders for maybe 20, 30 years that would probably rip them up or give them away and be like, no, I'm out. It was the Pink Sox. Rah. But I get it. I understand if you're on that side of the aisle that you'd be out on it. But I just think in terms of just the football alone, I'd be into it, especially if it was a incentivized short money deal. Take 23, as I tried to do 60 takes in 60 minutes. The egg salad sandwich, the most underrated of the sandwiches. I golfed 18 yesterday, went into the pro shop after 9. I was like, all right, I got to get something in me. They have egg salad sandwiches on wheat. Try an egg salad sandwich. When's the last time you had one? When you were a kid, your mom made you eat one like egg salad. Ugh. No, it's great. Who doesn't like eggs? Eggs, perfect. Mix it with a little mayo, salt, pepper on wheat, and then you toast that bitch. Oh, man. Egg salad, underrated. So, so underrated. Take 24, so far, guess who's right about the Cincinnati Bengals? I was mocked weeks ago on Felger and Maz during a 10-question segment with Greg Bedard, who would be a team that would make improvement. I said the Cincinnati Bengals. I had them penciled in as the sixth seed in the AFC East. Great defense up front. Geno Atkins, a stud. As much as I don't really trust the Red Rifle and Andy Dalton, I think he stinks. He's looked pretty good so far in the first couple of weeks. A.J. Green looks unstoppable. 2-0 already. Tough one tomorrow in Carolina against the Panthers. And then the following week, another NFC South game in Atlanta against the Falcons. But they win tomorrow? The Bengals might be a little bit sneaky real, but so far, I've been right about the Bengals. Ended up only getting through, what, 24? 24 out of 60? Well, I tried. I had a lot of stuff jotted down here like a comedian trying to work on new material. I'll have to think of how I can do this for another time. 60 takes in 60 minutes. I gave it my all, people, for you. For Mason Souza, who produced this 60 minutes, and for Sean Silver as well, who was alongside giving the headlines and chimed in with his Macho Man impersonation. This is Big Jim Murray signing off. Enjoy Notre Dame. Wake Forest coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.